As I was saying at the beginning of the service, we wanted to share a presentation from our National Youth Gathering attendees. Three of our high schoolers, Jay Souza, Nathan Stutzman, and Joshua Light. Going backwards in alphabet, that's never good. All right, so the three of them, along with adult leaders Donna Gerken and John Light, attended this gathering. It happens every 3 years, gathers over 20,000 people, this one in Minneapolis, in order to celebrate the Lord, to learn about His Word together. And so they wanted to share some of the things that they took away from the gathering with you. Take a listen.
We attended the 2019 National Youth Gathering in Minneapolis this past summer. We started the trip by driving 5.5 hours up to Minneapolis. We then received our backpacks and got ready for our trip to officially begin.
My favorite part was the mass event each night. It was cool to see all the people that believed the same way as I did. The big worship service on Monday also had a spiritual impact on me. I really liked the sermon and having communion with 23,000 other people. The sermon was about how each of us are sinful, but through Jesus we are saved. During one of the nights, my uncle, who is also a pastor, had asked if we could give them a ride to the grocery store to buy food for their group, as we had a car and they did not. Due to our busy schedule, we had only a small window in the evening before our mass event to help them. This time ended up being supper. This reminded me of how Jesus sacrificed for us, even though He didn't have to.
That is nothing compared to what children from Haiti have to go through. They showed us a picture of a little kid that was 6 years old. He was just skin and bones. Then they showed us a picture of the same kid, much healthier, and said, "This is what your hard work is going towards." Our group packed 152 boxes with 32,832 meals, and this can feed 90 kids just like the one from Haiti for 1 year.
Jason Seaman lived in Noblesville, Indiana, and was a local middle school teacher. He was living his life to the fullest until in 2018, where his school experienced a mass shooting. The attacker went into his room and shot Jason Seaman 3 times. However, he persevered through the pain and tackled the student before he could harm anyone else. He credited his perseverance to the presence of God in his life. He never once doubted what he was doing, even while being shot, because he knew God was present in his life to save the students.
Pastor Lane tells us that most of us only show half our true selves. People don't share something that they think that will make them look stupid or uncool. They will only stay confined in what they think people around them think of them. This impacted me because I see this all the time with school, social media, and YouTube. It is okay to be honest with ourselves and to other people, and not to be dragged down by what some people think of us.
We specifically wanted the boys to share about their experience on this weekend with the gift of knowledge, because you can hear in their stories that they didn't go just to learn some facts. That what they came away with was really knowledge. Learning, analyzing, uncovering insights from the Bible for the growth of faith, and really the growth of the church. It's for the sake of growth, not just facts. It's for the sake of faith growth. Like Jay Souza was the one towards the end there talking about Pastor Lane, and you know, we put all up our best selves onto the social media, and yet through Jesus we realize we can just lay it all out there. That we can be both our best selves and our worst selves, knowing that that Jesus forgives all of that. He sees us who we truly are. We don't have to fake it. That's taking a scriptural insight of God's love, his forgiveness in Jesus, and it becoming knowledge. It becoming something that affects how our faith grows, not just a fact. Here's how to think about knowledge versus fact. All right, I'm going to check you on a fact that I think you know. 1 + 1 = 2. That's a fact. That's just a fact, right? It becomes knowledge. It became knowledge for you when you were really little, because you realized you were one person, your friend was another, which meant you needed two toys to play with. Because when there's only one toy and there's two of you, that was trouble when you're a toddler, right? And so it became knowledge. 1 + 1 = 2. It becomes knowledge. It changes my life. We need two toys. It went from fact to knowledge. And that's what we have with Scripture. You could know a lot of facts about the Bible. You could know a lot of facts about God. And yet, until it becomes something that changes your life, it grows your faith, that's when it becomes knowledge. That's the difference in the scene with Philip and Bartholomew, or Philip and Nathanael, right? Philip, Jesus comes to Philip and says, "Follow me." And he realizes, you know, they've been seeing John the Baptist preach. Now here's Jesus. John the Baptist has said, "This is the one." Peter and Andrew have already signed up. Philip says, "Okay, I'm going to follow you." But first he goes to get his good friend Nathanael, Bartholomew. And when Philip goes to get Nathanael, he doesn't quiz him on facts. He doesn't show up and say, "Nathanael, what chapter in Isaiah is it that we hear about the Messiah? If you got the right answer, you're in." He doesn't quiz him about a bunch of facts. What does he say? He goes to Nathanael and he says, "You know the one that we've been studying? You know the one that Moses writes about? You know the one that the prophets were pointing to? That we've been looking for, the Christ, the Messiah, this promised one? We found him. It's Jesus of Nazareth." Philip is talking about knowledge. It's life-changing. It's growth of the church. It is uncovering insights from Scripture. Really, maybe in this case, it's not so much that Philip uncovered it. It's that Jesus revealed it, right? Philip and Nathanael were friends, and apparently they had been learning about the Lord together. They had analyzed God's word together. They had been seeking in God's word. They had been looking, where is this Messiah? And now Jesus had revealed it to Philip, and so he comes to Nathanael and says, "We found him." It's the knowledge of the Savior, not just I imagine Philip and Nathanael having been good friends, and they just spent a lot of time together, and I don't know that they would have had access to, like, you know, Scripture written down, but I imagine them spending a lot of time thinking or talking about Scripture, looking at all these promises, and yearning to know that there would be a Savior. And so now when Jesus shows up, it's not based on some facts, It's based on this knowledge, this gift of knowledge. And those with the gift of knowledge, those with the spiritual gift of knowledge, they raise up those insights for the rest of us, for the sake of all of us growing in faith. Someone with the gift of knowledge is able to take what we learn from Scripture and kind of hold it up for the rest of us as like a lens to see life through. It's what Paul had done. We've got his second letter to Corinthians in today's reading. It's what Paul had done. He had the gift of knowledge, and he had these insights from Scripture, and he held it up for the people to say, here is your Messiah. Jesus is your Messiah. The one who died on the cross and rose again, this one's your Messiah. Don't get fooled by something else. But this is his second letter to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth kept having trouble, and so Paul had to write at least twice that we know of, because they kept arguing about different things. They kept getting kind of tricked by other ways of thinking. And now here, Paul's saying, you kind of realize Paul must have fallen under some kind of scrutiny because he wasn't like the super apostles. Did you see that in the 2 Corinthians reading that Victor read? It says super apostles. Somebody asked me, is it really in Scripture? And well, yeah, that's a pretty good translation of what we've got there. Super apostles. And you have this image of, you know, like somebody with a big, you know, I don't know, like a cape on, like, I am the super apostle, right? But here's what was happening. You know, the church had heard Paul's gospel, right? The gospel of Jesus. But then along come these others who maybe they were kind of flashy and flamboyant, you know, they were like really good speakers, and maybe they were kind of well-to-do, and they impressed upon the people that, yeah, Paul was okay, but, you know, listen to me, and if you listen to me, you know, you'll be prosperous like me. You know, they showed up in the town, they had the best bands, they had the light show, the pyrotechnics, they were super apostles. And so the people were starting to get tricked by them. They were starting to feel like, well, maybe Paul didn't have it all because Paul doesn't seem like this. But Paul's saying, those super apostles are missing a crucial piece. Paul says, even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not lacking in knowledge. The super apostles might have had some facts, and they were saying some correct things about God and the gospel. They were saying a few correct things, but they didn't actually have the gift of knowledge. They weren't really looking for the church to grow in faith. They were looking for their fame to grow. So Paul says, look, I'm not like those guys. I can't speak as well. I don't show up to town with my whole, you know, entourage and, you know, my warm-up act of Christian comedians and stuntmen. I just don't have that, guys. But Paul says, what I don't have in the skill of speaking, what I do have is knowledge. And what I do have is knowing that our Savior is Jesus. And it's all about what Jesus has done for us, not about how wealthy we get or how, you know, popular a super apostle is. It's about what Jesus has done for us. He uncovers that insight for them in this letter, and he points to knowledge, insight from God's word, the truth of Christ, a lens through which to view everything, that it's more than facts. It's about seeing life through grace and mercy. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous chapter about love, Paul said, if I have all knowledge, but I have not love, I am nothing. So now, not only were the super apostles probably lacking knowledge, they also were not showing up out of love. So even if they appeared flashy or appeared to know a lot, they lacked love for the people. Paul did come with all knowledge. He revealed to them everything that Jesus had revealed, and Jesus revealed everything that we need to know for salvation. We might have a lot of other questions about who God is and how this all works, but what we have from Jesus is what we need for salvation, and that's what Paul revealed to them. He came with all that knowledge, but he also came with love. He came with this love for them. And that's why in this 2 Corinthians passage it says, out of divine jealousy. We think of jealousy as negative, and maybe it's not the best way to translate this, but what it means is that God is jealous, or he is zealous for us. He does not want us to go down a false path. He wants us to remain true to him. And Paul is reflecting that same thing. He's saying, don't follow these super apostles. I don't want you to give up focused on Jesus and the cross. Divine jealousy, love. I want you to know all knowledge, and I love you. Don't leave this knowledge behind. Don't go after a false truth, or dead fact, or a dead end. Which is why the spiritual gift of knowledge is more than book smarts. It's more than being a know-it-all. It's about the knowledge that God gives for the sake of helping the people of God grow in faith. Your knowledge of the gospel. Even if the gift of knowledge isn't one of your top three gifts, your knowledge of the gospel gives you insights into who God is. It's not for the sake of proving that you learned something so you can mark it down on a test. It's not just a knowledge of God is not just for like a little certificate on the wall. It's not so that you could prove that you belong. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of who he is, seeing that insight into God's heart of grace and mercy and forgiveness, it's for the sake of growing in faith and encouraging others to grow in faith as well. So, in just a couple weeks now, we'll go back to our regular schedule, 8 o'clock and 10:45 worship, with that education hour in between at 9:30. And you're going to be seeing things about, hey, come to Sunday school. And you're going to be seeing things about, come to youth Bible study. And you're going to be seeing things about adult Bible study. And some of you, maybe none of you in this room, some of you will say, I don't want to go to adult Bible study because I don't know enough. And if you say that, that's basing it on facts. I don't know enough. As if there's you have to have a certain amount of facts before you could come study the Bible. But it's not about facts. It's about looking at God's Word and being able to learn from one another and hear those insights that help us grow in faith. You're invited to grow in this knowledge of the Lord. Not about facts. It's about growing in this knowledge and encouraging one another in that knowledge. Let me close with a story that I hope illustrates the idea that what we really need isn't just facts. What we need are those insights from Scripture. And those insights may come in small little pieces, and yet they keep pointing to who God truly is. This past week, I met a man, and he has an incredible life story. And maybe one day I'll get to share it with you, but I don't have permission right now. It's a tough life story. Just difficult, awful things that he has seen. But I've met him now that he has this new hope and a new direction in his life. So we were talking about something we might work on together. And after a while, I just said, can I ask you a question? And it won't change our relationship here. We're going to work together. But can I ask you something? I said, are you a man of faith? And he said, I am. And he paused. And I was about to say, that's awesome. And he said, not. Like, Oops, I'm glad I didn't get too, you know, excited there when he said, I am. I am not a man of faith. And I said, that's okay, I just wondered. And I can imagine what you've been through would make it really difficult to believe in God. And he said, yeah, I've often wondered, like, why me? Where is God? I mean, if there's a God, where is he? And so I, you know, affirmed him in the sense that I can imagine. I can't imagine, actually, the things he'd been through, so I can't imagine how difficult it would be to believe in God. But right then he said, I realize I'm getting curious, though. My life's turning around in incredible ways, and I'm starting to get curious about who this God is. Now, time out. I could have dumped facts on him right then, right? I could have dumped facts, right? Well, God created the world, and then there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then 12 sons, and then 12 tribes, and then out of the 12 tribes came Jesus, and he, right? I could have done a fact dump on him, right? But that's not what he needed. When he said, I'm curious, I just said, I, as a believer, see God at work in all this that's coming to change in your life. I see that God is at work. It's an insight, it's a little bit of knowledge that points him to something different. It wasn't a fact thing, it was the knowledge of God. That's what we need from one another. It's not about all the facts that you know. And Jay and Nathan and Joshua didn't come back with a bunch of facts. They came back with an encouragement for their faith, an encouragement for your faith. Celebrate the knowledge and wisdom that come from the Lord that build us up in faith. Amen.